Then I pray. Let me pray. Father God, we praise you and worship you for who you are. You are amazing, God. Father, we just want to be in your presence. That's all that matters to us. So many times the world tends to just take our minds away from you, tends to deviate us from you, and kind of gets us thinking of all the evil and the misery that we find in this world. Father, may we sit at your feet every day, but most importantly, at this moment here with your people, may we say nothing else, only Jesus will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. In the last week, I started this sermon series called Simply Jesus, and today I continue on it, and we're going to be looking at the book of Luke. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to Luke chapter 4 as I introduce the message here for you. Last week, I talked about the importance of living like Jesus. We started a new path of discipleship at Delaware Christian Church where we are going to live like Jesus did, right? Even though I preached from the book of Luke last week, my main passage was John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, that says this: whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. And I showed you something like this. And here's the goal, that we would live like Jesus. That's the whole goal, the Christian walk. And we want to make sure that as we continue to grow in our walk with Jesus, as we walk together, that Jesus is our everything, that we walk like him. It would be hard to cover the whole book of Luke, but for the next few weeks until Easter, we're going to be doing that, looking at the life of Jesus through the book of Luke. And here's one of the things I have found out about Jesus, is that there are some truths about Jesus that are hard to swallow. There are some truths about Jesus that are hard to believe in, to hold on to, and to live it out in our lives. The next 3 weeks, I'm going to be preaching to you on some truths about Jesus that you just need to get a grip of it. You just need to hold on to it. It is hard to process it. There are some things that we don't even think it is true in a sense. It's like fairy tale. It's like stories out there that we read like to their kids before they go to bed. It's not really true, but you need to read it to know it. But that's how we think. That's how society tries to portray it to us. But in the Bible, if the Bible is true, which I believe it is true, it is important for us to understand every single passage, process it, and live it out. So, in the book of Luke, there are some truths about Jesus that we are going to embrace for the next 3 weeks. And I starting today, I have a list of them there for you. And these are the truths, the fact checks that we're going to be exploring the next 3 weeks. Jesus' power over the demonic world. That's the sermon today. Next week, we'll be talking about Jesus' power over sickness and disease. And in the third week, we're going to be talking about Jesus' power over the natural world. See, here's the thing about Jesus. We believe that he's powerful. We believe in the power of Jesus. But then when we come with what his power is over, we kind of tend to say, you know what, that's for somebody else, not for me. But if we are Bible believers, if we believe in Jesus and the stories that we read in the Bible, it is true, then therefore we ought to possess of them, we ought to understand them and to live them out. And these passages are one of those that we run away from it instead of spend time into it. Well, guess what? We're going to spend some time together on it. Today, the theme is this: Jesus is supreme over all evil forces. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That Jesus is supreme over all evil forces? Many of us believe it, but don't buy into it. Well, that's not a right statement. It's like, I know that, but exactly how it goes. We believe it, but we don't buy into it. Have you ever gone to life and you're living life and life is going, you think you're doing everything right? You spend some time with God, you're in the Word, and life is well. I mean, we are all sinful people, that's for sure. But like, you don't have any major things going on, and any major sins in your life, but life is falling apart all around you. You feel like, man, there's something else other than just life in general working against me. Have you ever felt that way? that there is some like external forces just pressing on you and just trying to take it, all the strength, all the powers from within and draw, just taking life away from you. Have you ever felt that way? Felt like something else was working against you? I remember in 2002, Laura and I, we went to Morocco, and we spent some time, 3 months in Morocco, and you know, we were doing some missionary work, and I was in a specific town at the time, and we were doing some talking to Muslims about Jesus. We need to do that strategically because, you know, you would be persecuted there. And so we were just finding strategies, finding ways of proclaiming the gospel to the people in Morocco. And one of those days, we were supposed to go on a prayer walk. So we were supposed to go in a prayer walk, and the group went, and I broke away. If you know a little bit about me, I kind of tend to be a little bit rebellious at heart, right? Like, if you tell me, go with the group, I'll be like, no, I'm going to go against the group, right? That's me right there. So I got one of the translators, and we went and started walking around. And as we were walking on the side of the town, there was, I'm about to show you a picture. I'll show you a picture here that will illustrate for you a little bit. That's me in 2002, a lot more skinnier than back then. There was a lot more clothing there than today. But we were in Morocco there, and I was praying on the outside of the town, and out of the on that house in the bottom there, there's a house, there's an open door right behind my back pocket there. And out of that door came like 15, 20 kids yelling out loud, and I looked at it, the translator looked at it, and I was like, what's going on? And he's like, that kid in blue that's chasing those kids, he's demon-possessed. He's demon-possessed, and every day he goes around town just terrorizing people, running after people, and he runs after the kids, and everybody, you know, is afraid of him. And his mom and dad has a room in the front of the house where he lives. He lives outside of the house. He don't even go inside of the house. They're scared of him. I don't know about you, but if you see a demon-possessed person, are you going to walk towards it or you run away from it? See, I think that's most like how we do things, right? When we see a demon-possessed person, we hear about possession, or we hear about demons, or we hear about the devil, or we hear about Satan, or we hear about hell. We run away from it instead of going towards to it. So I look at the guy, at the translator, and say, dude, call that kid here. I want to talk to him. He's like, you, we don't do that, man. He's demon-possessed. You don't get close to those things. You don't. It's like, no. Call him here. That's a picture of me with the demon-possessed kid. I was able to give him water. I was able to give him a hug. As Moroccan culture, my culture in Brazil, we kiss. I got an opportunity to give him a kiss on his cheek. But most importantly, I got to pray for him and with him. See, here's the thing about all this. This conversation is we're so uncomfortable about it at church, right? Like, I can see you, like, right now. It's so quiet, and it's like, do you believe that Jesus has the power over the demonic world, over the evil world? How do you deal with it? How do you process it? Do you run away or you go towards it and you face it? Because reality is, in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus gave the disciples, his disciples, you and I, authority over the demonic world. You and I, we have the power over it because Jesus has given it to us. Jesus has the power, and he empowers us to it. If you don't believe it, let's read it, right? So the point of the message here today is this. Jesus is supreme over evil forces. You don't have to fear the enemy. You don't have to fear evil. You don't have to fear demons. You don't have to fear the word hell because it has no power over you. Jesus has power over us, over the evil one, and he has already defeated. Therefore, we are victorious. Luke chapter 1. Verses 31 to 36, let's start reading about Jesus' power over the demonic world. Then, if you have your Bibles, you can open. You're probably there already. If not, it's up there. You can read it with me. Then he went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and the Sabbath, on the Sabbath, he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. I want you to pay attention to the word had there. In the Greek, that word means possessed. Jesus' words possessed authority. In the, verse 33, in the synagogue, there was a man possessed by demon. I love the contrast that Luke makes there, right? You can either be possessed by Jesus' authority or you can be possessed by demon. It's very black and white when it comes to that specific aspect of the message. It's either possessed by God or possessed by something else. And an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." I love that. So Jesus is in the synagogue. He's teaching, right? He's teaching on the Sabbath there in the synagogue. And this one guy who is in the synagogue, he's yelling out, right? And because the demon has just manifested itself in him. And the demon is saying, "Are you here to destroy us?" And he recognized who Jesus was. He says, "You are the Holy One of God." I think that's so funny because the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious leader of the time didn't recognize Jesus as the Holy One of God, but the demons did. Don't you think that's interesting? How is that possible that the most religious at the time didn't recognize who Jesus was, but the demons did? Could that be the case today, in a sense, that the most religious people don't recognize who Jesus really is? Verse 35, "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words were these? With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding areas. People were in awe of Jesus' power over the demon, the imperial spirits. By one word, the spirits came out. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 and through 39 is another passage that I would like to explore with you that talks about Jesus' power over the spiritual world, of the imperial spirit, of the evil world. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 and on. They sailed, the disciples, to the region, and with Jesus, to the region of, I can't pronounce that word, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell on his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into the solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down and to the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Let me stop here and make some comments here for you. This is one of the things that I love about this passage. This passage about Jesus and dealing with the evil world. Jesus never go after the enemy. The enemy is always the one addressing Jesus. It was in the synagogue, and it is here. Jesus just got out of the boat. This guy comes running to Jesus to meet Jesus, right? This demon-possessed guy comes to meet Jesus, and he starts speaking to Jesus. Jesus didn't address him. Jesus didn't approach him. The demon and the guy is the one who was approaching Jesus. The other thing I want to bring to our attention is this. What kind of life was this guy living? Can you imagine? Can you see this guy? Can you see this guy here today? He's like, he has no clothes on. He's not living in houses. He's living in tombs. This is not a way of living life on earth, is it? He is completely broken physically, emotionally, spiritually, and socially. Nobody wants to hang out with this guy. If we can use some terms like, when was the last time this guy took a shower? Right? When was the last time this guy had a conversation with someone? This guy was completely detached from society. Because that's what the enemy does, right? He drives us away. He takes life away. John 10:10, Jesus says, I came to give life, but the enemy, he came to destroy, to kill, to steal. That's what the enemy does. He wants to make us less human, and Jesus wants to make us more and more human. They come to Jesus and they beg Jesus not to torture them. It's funny, they're torturing the guy, but they're not asking Jesus not to torture them. How interesting that statement from the demons. For Jesus has commanded the spirit to come out of the man. And here's the funny thing about this passage. This guy was strong, right? And here's what demons can do at times. He can give you the strength to break physical chains, but he cannot give you the strength to break spiritual chains. Only Jesus can break spiritual chains. Jesus asked, what is your name? He said, Legion, because many has gone after, many demons was in this guy. And then verse 31 is for me the most puzzling of all. And they begged. The word beg there is the word, can be translated as the word prayer. So they're making a request, a urge, an appeal to Jesus. They are appealing to Jesus. They're begging Jesus repeatedly not to order them to the abyss. Do you know what the abyss is? It's the word we are all scared of. It's the word hell. How interesting is this that not even the demons wants to go to hell? Isn't that funny? Like they were like, Jesus, send us anywhere else, but don't send us to the bottomless pit. Don't send us down there. We don't want to go down there. I thought that's so interesting about this passage. You can read more about the abyss on Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 to 12. We don't have time to explore the whole thing here. One of these days we might spend some time on it. There was a large pigs, and they were like, send us to the pigs. So they were sent to the pigs, and the pigs drowned it. Verse 34, I'll finish it up reading this passage. When those tending the pigs saw what happened, they ran off and reported this in the town, in the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. Everybody's curious about Jesus. Not many people likes to believe in Jesus. Not many people like to believe in the power of Jesus, but a lot of people are curious about Jesus. Are you curious about Jesus, or do you believe in Jesus here today? So they came to Jesus. They found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I don't know what to do with this verse right here. This guy is completely transformed, completely changed. Let me tell you this one thing, though. If this verse don't tell you the ability of Jesus to transform life, I'm not sure what else will tell you or tell me or teach us about Jesus' power to change people's lives. This guy's life is completely changed. He is dressed up in his right mind, and the people around was afraid of that. They were not afraid of him before, but they are afraid of him now. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. They drove Jesus away for healing a guy who's living a miserable life and who's bringing fear to them. Okay, last one, I promise. Last one, I promise. I'm just in love with God's word. And I love these passages because we don't get to talk about it much often. Chapter 9, verses 37 and 45. So one page over, we read another story. Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy. So the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, Teacher, I beg you, look at my son, for he is my only child. A spirit seized him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsion, so he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him, and is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. This is a request of a dad, right? I have three kids, right? And sometimes we see our kids going through some stuff in life, and don't you pray? I pray for my kids. I'm sure you do too. We all have kids who are going through some stuff. I can understand the heart of this father here. He's saying, Jesus, I beg you, I pray, I'm asking, I'm pleading, I'm requesting. Please, please, Jesus, take a look at my son. Don't have compassion on me. Take a look at my son. He is the only child I have. And he goes on to tell, to describe what's going on in the life of the kid. He has all these things going on with him. And he says, it never leaves him. It is destroying him. Let me tell you once again, the enemy wants to destroy your life. The enemy wants to destroy my life. The enemy wants to destroy God's people's lives. That's what it's all about. That's what he's trying to do. And then the guy goes and says, I talked to your disciples about it, but they couldn't do it. And I think this is where we get stuck sometimes in the church today, like, right? We are like the disciples on this specific situation. We are brought this request before us. Jesus has already empowered on chapter 9, verse 1, when Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure disease. Jesus has already given the disciples the power. Jesus has already given you the authority, having given you the power against situations like these. But we are like the disciples here. We believe it, but we don't buy into it. Therefore, we are not effective for the kingdom of God. Jesus goes on and say, Jesus is not rebuking. A lot of pastors preach this as a rebuking. I have a Bible here. It's part is Greek, part is English. In the Greek, the terms and the verb and how it's used, it is not a condemnation tone in the Greek. So therefore, it can be a condemnation tone in the English either. So Jesus is saying, "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "How long shall I stay with you and put up with you?" Jesus is like, man, few verses ago, I gave you the power, I gave you the authority, I prop you up, I equip you to do this kind of stuff, and now there is opportunity to use this, and you don't get it done? Do you believe today that you have power over the evil one? Do you believe because what Jesus has done on the cross and because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to you and I, we have the authority to speak so that the enemy would listen to us? Jesus says, bring your son here. Even while the boys were coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. Listen, there's a lot of lessons that we ought to take from this passage. But let me tell you three very important things. The first one is this. Humankind alone is powerless against the power of the dark. But with Jesus, we are more than victorious. So many times in life, we can feel it. We can sense it. There's something else going on here. It is not only natural things. It's not only my body. It's not only people around us. There are some things going on that we can put a finger on it. And Jesus is like, listen, you have the power to withstand against it. You have the power. I have given to you. I gave you the authority and I gave you the power through the Holy Spirit to withstand against the enemy. The people in this passage, these people in these scenes are helpless victims of these spirits, these evil spirits. Like, they're being seized and they're being abused and they're being tossed in convulsion. They're driven to solitary places. They're helpless. Apart from Jesus, they remain completely vulnerable. But in Jesus' presence, they are free. The second thing you need to learn about this is this. Jesus has full and complete authority over the demonic forces. Stop doubting Jesus' Stop doubting Jesus' power, Jesus' authority over the evil world. What's going on in this passage is clear to them, was clear to them then, it should be clear to us today that Jesus has power over the demonic, over the evil world. This is a funny thing because people today doesn't claim to know or recognize who Jesus is and his power, but that's lie. Those are all lies, and it's a personal decision to reject Jesus, because let me tell you this, even demons knows who Jesus is, and they recognize his power, and they obey Jesus. Let me tell you this is a frustrating thing for me. Demons in the Bible obey Jesus. But his disciples sometimes do not. And I'm a disciple. That's puzzling me at times. There's something powerful about the dark forces of evil that dramatically declaring that Jesus is the Son of God. There's something powerful about that, right? The demons declared who Jesus was. And most of the times, we refuse to declare who Jesus is or even believe. Like, you know, you talk about the Easter is coming up, that Jesus rose for the dead. And one of the biggest thing that Christians wrestle with is, did Jesus really die? Did he really rose again? Is he really divine? Was Jesus really divine? Like, listen, the demons didn't question that. They knew it. They knew it, and they proclaim it. Therefore, we need to grasp the power of Jesus over the demonic world, because if the enemy declares it, it is because it is true. But the demonic forces are no match to Jesus' power and authority. And we see that here. They actually succumb to it, submit to it. The third thing you need to know is the only way to break free from the burden and oppression from these spirits is through the power of Jesus. I don't know if you remember the rescue story. I talked about how in the first message last week, I talked about the favor of God. We have this favor of God. God is for us. He's not against us, right? He has empowered us. He has given us power to withstand against the enemy. That's what Jesus has done for you and I when he died on the cross of Calvary, right? That's why he empowered us. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 13, Paul tells us, listen, God not only has given you the Holy Spirit to withstand against the evil one, he has given you a strategy. And I want to read that strategy with you, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13. Paul there is like, listen, you have everything you need in order to withstand against the evil one. And he explains, listen, the fight we are fighting every day, it is not against people, it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against something else. He says this, finally, brother, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. He says, finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord. It's not on you, it's not on your own powers, it's in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil ones. So many of us are afraid of the devil. So many of us are not withstand against the enemy because we are not standing with God. We're not standing through being empowered with the armor of God. And we need to change that in our lives. We need to put on the armor of God so that we can stand against the enemy. And he says, for our struggle, I don't know about you, but I'm struggling every day. There's always something that I'm struggling about. And then he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul is like, listen, I know you're struggling every day. There's always something that you and I, we are struggling with. And he's like, don't be fooled to think that you're struggling against people or against this or against that condition or against this condition. No, the enemy is trying to tear us down, which stands against it. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, he says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Man, I don't know about you, but one of the things that I struggle with is believing in lies. I believe in lies all the time. I'm always believing in the lies that I'm not good enough, that I'm not a good husband, that I'm not a good pastor, that I can't speak English, therefore people can't understand me, which is true. That's not a lie, right? And the lies goes on and on and on. It goes back to my past, bringing all my sins from the past and trying to bring all those things back up and trying to lie, entice me to believe in the lies that the enemy wants me to believe so that I am not effective for the kingdom of God. And I think you go through the same thing, believing in lies. Paul is telling us, listen, God has given you the belt of truth. Put that baby up. Put that on. Put that on in there. And you stop believing in the lies. He says, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. One of the things that, as a pastor, I suffer for it all the time is that I am not holy enough to be your pastor. You have heard me say this all the time. I'm not righteous. I'm not righteous. I say that all the time. And God's like, listen, the righteousness does not come from you. It comes from my son. So Jesus died on the cross to make you righteous. So that's right. You're not righteous. But Jesus makes you righteous. So start embracing what Jesus has done for you. I'm pretty sure you go through the same. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, and with your feet, put on the readiness of that comes from the gospel of peace. We must walk in the gospel, must walk in the word of God, meaning every step we take must be based on what God has spoken. And he said, pick up on the shield of faith. We are saved by faith, right? It's the grace that saves us, right? So it is based on faith in Jesus, and that faith ought to protect us. Put on the sword, which is the word of God. So many of us, we don't have nothing to fight with because we don't know God's word. Paul is saying, listen, if you want to fight the enemy, you better get a sword. And the sword is the word of God. So if you don't start memorizing God's word, spend time in God's word, you're going to be in trouble. Spend time in God's word. Get the sword. Use it against the enemy. And he says on verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. I mean, one of the things that many of us Christians struggle with is salvation. Are we saved? Are we not saved? Let me tell you this. If you have given your life to Jesus, if he's your Lord and Savior, if you walk towards him on a daily basis, you have been baptized, and if you spend time with his word and you are conscious about who he is and you're trying to do your best to live your life for him, you are saved. Don't let anything or anyone make you doubt that you are God's children. We are God's children. Paul is telling us, listen, we can withstand against the evil one. God has done everything, and he gives us his armor. God has the power over, and he gives it on to you. Therefore, you can withstand against the enemy. So, three applications here fast. We ought to open ourselves to the power of Jesus. That's the whole sermon is about. Jesus has the power over, so stop doubting that. Stop believing it. Start embracing it. Start living it out. He has opened yourself up to the power of Jesus. The second takeaway that is important for you, Jesus, we ought to steer clear of any demonic on ramps. C.S. Lewis on Screwtape Letters, a great book, he says this, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the evils. One is to disbelieve it in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. You know, there's Christians out there playing with things that we're not supposed to be playing with, like Ouija board and going to talk with psychics and medium and consulting the dead and dealing with fortune tellers and palm readers and this fascination with cults. And listen, let me tell you this, the demon exists and it is real, so let's not play around with it. Let's not open doors for him to come and do whatever. This is no Casper, right, the friendly ghost. No. There is an evil one, and he wants to destroy us, so let's withstand against him, not play with him. The third one is this. Recognize that not everything in life is demonic. Man, I have talked to a lot of people who think everything is demonic, right? Here's what I'm trying to say. This sermon is not about trying to equate what people are going through with what people are going through here. No, the sermon here today is about this. Jesus have the power over the demonic world. I don't can really discern to you all that the Satan is trying to do today in the 21st century. I have my my own personal ideas here and there. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what he does. Jesus wins it. And therefore, I am victorious. So, but people think everything is demonic. They're like, no, not everything is demonic. Sometimes we make mistakes and we reap the consequences of it. That's not demons doing things. That's you and I doing stuff. I remember one lady, one time back a long time ago, she came into my office and she tripped and fell and broke her hand. And she's like, Pastor Sam, the demon tripped me up this week and I broke my hand. And I was like, that's crazy right there. That's crazy talk right there. Like, maybe you, whatever. You know, I was like, I wanted to laugh, right? And I was like, man, devil, you're good. You're good. You're good, that one. No, I'm just joking. No, not everything is demonic. But we need to withstand against it no matter what. So living a life of Jesus means that you have the power and the presence of Jesus in and around your life. The devil wants to destroy us, but Jesus wants to give us life to protect our life. When you are connected to Jesus and you're living the Jesus life, his power and his authority is yours. And that will guard you and guide you in everything in life. Jesus, sometimes it's hard to believe that you have the power over evil. Because evil is all around us. Sometimes it's even harder to believe that we can withstand against the devil. That we can speak, rebuke him, and he will flee away from us. James tells us, resist the devil, and he will flee. So help us to live in the armor of God, to resist the devil, so that he will flee from us. The world wants to break physical chains, but only you can break spiritual chains. And in that we rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.